50 years ago, Carl Franz ditched college and the cold rains of Seattle and drove all the way to Mexico for the first time, where his travel buddy Steve Rogers had lived as an exchange student. A few years later, Lorena Havens joined them on their hippie van travels across Mexico. Today, the 14th edition of their classic People's Guide to Mexico contains more than 700 pages of wisdom they gleaned over the years to help any traveler find the real joys of life in Mexico. Their website is thepeoplesguidetomexico.com. What is the fundamentals of the People's Guide, Carl?
It's basically relax, don't plan ahead too much, and be open to whatever happens. You know, just don't try to pin everything down. Mexico doesn't pin down easily.
Now, that was true when you had hair on the top of your head and you were running around in Mexico as a hippie in a van with your girlfriend, Lorena,
and
all your buddies
and two parrots.
And is that still true today, a generation later?
Yeah, it is true. But obviously, things have changed. Like you say, for one, I've lost my hair, but I haven't lost my appreciation for getting off the beaten track in Mexico.
So the fundamentals of the People's Guide message is still there, even in our modern day and age. You just have the convenience of ATM machines and cell phones and people who are more likely to speak English.
Yeah. It's easier to travel in Mexico physically.
The transportation is better. And the rewards are just as good.
They're absolutely fantastic.
Carl, when you think of all the places you've been, you know, my whole thing about back doors, finding those magical little spots where you've undiscovered and it's just your Mexico.
You're not going to ask me for my favorite place, are you?
I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours. where would you go to just enjoy what is quintessential Mexico as far as People's Guide to Mexico is concerned?
Oh, boy.
Rick,
that's a tough question.
So many countries.
I hate it when people ask me that.
I know, and now I'm asking you that. Yeah, right.
But I mean, it must be frustrating for you to hear people who go all their lives back to Puerto Vallarta in Acapulco.
Yeah. Well, what I've always said is, you know, look at a map of Mexico and pick the name of a town you don't know.
And go there.
Okay. The first place I went in Mexico was Topolobampo. Went to Topolobampo simply because of the name.
A fun name.
And so we chanted Topolobampo, Topolobampo, all the way to Topolobampo. We got there, we had a shrimp cocktail, and we left. It was great.
Wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, Rick, we went down on the train when it used to run, and one of my favorite places whenever we did was the town of Zacatecas. No one goes to Zacatecas. It's an old colonial town.
Mm-hmm.
We always would get off, spend the night, on the plaza if the peso was really low, away from the plaza if it wasn't.
Any town, Mexico. What's it called? The town?
Zacatecas.
It's fun to say. Like, what was your other town?
Right. Topolobampo.
Topolobampo. I mean, there's a place in Italy called Poggibonsai.
Or Coatzacoalcos. There's another one. That's a good one. Good shrimp cocktails there, too, by the way.
You know, somebody said your book is a great guide to India and the developing world as well as Mexico.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the greatest compliments for a guide.
We thought so, too.
When somebody says that, what does that mean?
I think they're a universal... if you want to, I mean, this is going to sound very wise, but there are universal truths about travel. And that's hopefully we touched on that.
But Rick, just one thing, you talk about like going to Mazatlan. You have a hotel, you have a place to stay. You can get on the bus and do day trips. Talk to people, find out, talk to the people in the hotel. Where do you live? Where's your family? Oh, take a day trip, go for a couple hours, eat lunch, walk around, check out the market, check out some stores. Come back to your hotel. Do that two or three times, and you're going to travel differently.
That's like Mexico with training wheels. And then someday you can take those training wheels off, and you got Zopapongo. What was the name?
Topolobampo, Rick.
Topolobampo.
Write that on the back of your hand.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Carl Franz and Lorena Havens, the authors of The People's Guide to Mexico, a guidebook that, if you're not from my generation, you may not know it, but this book was the book back when I was a backpacker. And it's so exciting to have Carl and Lorena right here talking about the magic of Mexico living on even in our post-hippie age. The spirit of that book is alive and well. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Meredith is on the line in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Meredith, thanks for your call.
Hi, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. Do you have a comment or an idea to share with Carl and Lorena?
Yes, I have a question. I am a Spanish major at my university, and I'm looking for places in Mexico where I can actually speak a lot of Spanish but are still safe. Because I've heard that resort towns are usually safe, but I don't know how much, you know, Spanish is spoken there. And I didn't know if you had any suggestions for places like that.
Hi, Meredith. This is Carl. I wouldn't discount the idea of going to a resort town if you're more comfortable there, especially if it's, you know, if it's your first trip. And if you're a single female, that, you know, that's certainly a reasonable idea. But remember that every resort town is supported and serviced by thousands of real, genuine Mexicans who only speak Spanish. For example, Lorraine and I wrote a small privately published book in Puerto Vallarta, and we were living in a hotel, but we hung out in what you might call the Mexican area of town, where the food was cheaper and better, and the conversation was 100% Spanish. And, you know, go back to the same little hole-in-the-wall restaurant time and time again, and they'll get to know you very quickly, and tell them why you're there and what you're doing, and they'll really get off on it.
They'll appreciate it, I would imagine. And, you know, I am so struck, Meredith, by how you go to the biggest, most crassly American and first-world resort in Mexico, and you can just walk for 20 minutes or hop in a bus or something, and in half an hour, you are in the most genuine world without a hint of the resort.
And then go to a little town nearby, get a bus or a cab, and just hang out.
Mm-hmm. So those are still would be considered safer areas since they are so close to resort towns?
Well, you know,
I think you're overreacting to the safe thing, Meredith. You know, you don't want to stay away from the drug capitals and the border areas, but once you get immersed in Mexico as a tourist, I think you just got to call your loved ones every day back home and let them know you're still alive. And don't tell them how much fun you're having or they'll be down there with you.
But also, you can talk to other people. I mean, if there's some place that's not a good place to be going, other tourists will tell you, or the Mexicans will tell you. And if you just keep aware of things like that, you can go anywhere.
Meredith, thanks for your call.
Thank you so much.
You have some very good common sense tips for safety. Avoid drugs and drinking scenes. Don't drive at night. Be nice to cops and soldiers.
Yeah.
And relax.
And if anybody hassles you, just smile and don't say anything.
And that, is that the same sort of wisdom that you got out of all your jams back in the
70s? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Just don't say anything and smile.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, Rick, one thing that people drive down that's really changed is there's now serious seatbelt laws everywhere.
Really? I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Carl Franz and Lorena Havens about their People's Guide to Mexico out in its 14th edition. And Matt's on the phone in Renton, Washington. Matt, thanks for your call.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the show. My family and I just returned from a 10-day trip to Guadalajara and surrounding regions. We just got back 2 days ago. And we were there with our children, ages 6 and 3. And, you know, we wanted to take them to get them sort of off the beaten path. We've taken them to Europe, but wanted to expose them to a different part of the world. And it turned out to be a pretty great trip.
In Guadalajara. And what worked with your kids? This is a great idea to bring the family down there.
Yeah, so, you know, they're kids, so they responded very well to the zoo. It's a really impressive zoo there in Guadalajara. But we also had some nice day trips down to Lake Chapala. And Tlaquepaque is a nice little suburban area of Guadalajara. So there were lots of options. You know, we didn't cover as much ground as we certainly would have had it just been the adults. But we slowed down, and it was good.
Kids are popular, too, in restaurants, aren't they? Lorraine, you can take kids into a restaurant without
worrying about it. Oh, absolutely. In fact, if you've got a kid, you'll probably get served before the rest of us old folks. But, you know, Rick, another thing, particularly if you had younger kids and are down there for any length of time, hire somebody local to be their babysitter. The kids will be learning Spanish.
That's a great idea.
They will have an in to somebody's home, and they'll become part of the community and learn to hang out with other Mexican kids.
So you go to just any old town in Mexico, and I'm not talking about a resort town necessarily, but just a real town, and you could ask at your hotel, do you have a line on a local babysitter?
Mm-hmm.
You could do that.
Absolutely.
So that's a good idea, Matt, also. But what a cool experience to bring your kids down there and get them comfortable with what's going on south of the border.
Did you take them to one of the markets there in Guadalajara, Matt?
We did. We were a little overwhelmed by Tonalá. That was the biggest market we went to. And it was crazy.
What is that now?
It was an experience.
Tonalá?
Yeah.
And how is that overwhelming?
Well, I guess on Thursdays and Sundays they have markets that I don't know how many people come to, but it's
just,
you know,
vast,
it's Mexican
huh?
intensive.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So Matt, when your kids talk with their friends now about their experience in Mexico, what do they usually mention? What's memorable for them?
Well, we're all still processing since we just got back, but our six-year-old immediately mentions the ballet. We went to the Guadalajara Ballet at the theater, Degollado, I think is the name of it, the theater right there in Guadalajara. And that was a very special experience. And then we also went out to Huachimontones, which is a pyramid and some ruins. And I think that made quite an impression, too.
Did you use a guidebook to help you find hotels and restaurants and so on?
We did. We found that Guadalajara, there's not a lot of material out there dedicated to Guadalajara. So we did some research online and guidebooks we could find, but it's certainly not, the resources aren't there like there might be for, you know, Paris.
Carl and Lorena, of course, have written The People's Guide to Mexico, and that's what we're talking about. This is the cultural sort of manual to really get into the spirit. But if you want a conventional listing of hotels and restaurants, which one would you guys recommend?
Oh, boy. You know, I guess I'd go with the usual suspects.
Yeah. Lonely Planet, would that be good, or Frommer's?
No, I'd use anything from our publisher and nothing from anyone else.
The Moon Guide to Mexico. You're a good man. Seriously, would you use the Moon Guide? Is that a good one?
Yeah.
So the Moon Guide to Mexico?
To be quite honest, I don't use those guidebooks, but of course, yeah.
A lot of our listeners.
A lot of people, I mean, they're popular and they work. And by the way, I want to mention that Matt brought up a good point from the previous caller. I would suggest Guadalajara. Lorena and I lived near Guadalajara for a few years, and that is a largely unvisited city. There's a significant population of Canadians and Americans in the region, but Guadalajara is quite a large, interesting city and doesn't get much tourism. So if you want a Mexican immersion, there you go.
And a springboard from there to the Colonial Circle?
And there's so much in the vicinity.
Isn't the Colonial Circle nearby there?
It's in the I would call the Colonial Circle.
So you could fly into there. Do that city and then pick up a car and do the
Colonial Circle? Fly into Mexico City and take a fast bus or, right to Guadalajara.
You know, renting cars is not that easy in Mexico or cheap.
So what would you use the buses?
I would use the first-class buses. Mm-hmm. I forget the line. One of them has only one row of seats on one side.
Really?
I mean, you're talking luxury. And then once you're in a town, hire a cab.
Yeah.
For the day.
You could take a lot of taxis before you'd cover the cost of a car rental.
Yeah.
Very good point. Thanks, Matt, for your call.
Thank you.
Shelby's on the line in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah.
Seeing as Mexico is such a big draw, it has the resort draw for tourists. Oftentimes, it seems that the tourists go from airport to resort, with a blind eye towards the poverty that Mexico has. And I'm just wondering if you find that Mexicans have sort of a resentment towards these tourists or if they're happy that they're bringing money into the country.
No, I don't sense resentment at all. In fact, I remember a quote that really struck me, quite touching. A guy working, a Mayan, working in Cancun, as a matter of fact, and he said, "We survive on our wages, and we live on our tips." And Americans are considered the most generous tippers in Mexico by people I know who work in the service industry there. So on the contrary, there is a great affection for everything American, but it's mixed with kind of a resentment because so many Americans look on Mexico as a third world country. To them, that means poor, uneducated, and that's so wrong.
Friends of ours who are educated, most of them speak at least three languages or four languages.
Yeah.
I mean, we're considered, even Carl and I, we're a bit illiterate. We can, get by on two, more or less, But it's just standard to know at least three languages. The Mayans, they're speaking English, German, French, and their own Mayan language just to have a job in tourism.
Does that make sense, Shelby, to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree. It's an unfortunate thing that we have that feeling about Mexico and Mexicans, but it does seem to be there in some certainly American tourists.
And I think if you travel with the spirit of Carl and Lorena's book and actually hang out in this main square and eat and drink and party with local people instead of going to these resorts that are cloistered off and have your little stretch of pristine beach swept free of local riffraff and a plastic strap around your wrist so you can get margaritas without spending any of the local coins. That just isolates you from Mexico, and you come home not learning about Mexico, arguably.
Yeah. I just read, in fact, this morning, because I read the Mexican newspapers on the internet every day, that if you look at publicity for Cancun, you usually don't see the word Mexico mentioned. They're selling Cancun as a Caribbean destination.
Oh, that's very telling, yes. Shelby, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
And Carl and Lorena, we've been talking about having that intimate experience, not dashing off to the resort and making sure you don't, get your fingers dirty, but how to really immerse yourself in Mexico. And I was enjoying you had a list of experiences in your book and different ways, just humble, simple ways where you could go to any old town and have an experience. Can you share some of these ideas, simple ways where anybody can really connect?
Well, one thing I always like to do is when I get talking to a woman, ask her, like, what's her favorite meal? How do you fix it?
Perfect.
Just
yeah.
In a casual conversation, what do you do? And then if you get to know them at all, join them for fixing a meal. And then, of course, you get to eat. Your family's relating to their family or as an individual.
And that's realistic.
You become friends.
That's realistic. Anybody could have that experience. You don't need to be Lorena Havens, who's written a guidebook. You don't have to even speak Spanish. You can go down there and have that experience.
Absolutely.
If you strike up the conversation. Carl.
Yeah. You know, Lorena and I don't like to move around quickly. So typically, if we'll find a nice little cheap hotel, we might stay 2-3 days or a week. I like to go to the same little coffee shop or the same corner store and sit. Usually there's a chair. You sit in the corner and you kind of become a temporary local. You don't even have to say anything, but people will be curious. Hey, what are you doing here? You know, they'll see if you, first of all, do you speak any Spanish? A lot of people speak a little bit of English.
Right.
In fact, that's where I learned most of my Spanish, was sitting in a local tienda, a little mom-and-pop store, and I did that for 6 months. And it was cheaper and better and easier than any language school I've ever tried.
Beautiful. Yeah. And you also wrote about just challenging people to spend an afternoon in a beachside restaurant.
Yeah,
let
right.
the whole day go by. Eat your way through the whole menu.
Do it Mexican style. I call it Seafood Sunday. Yeah, where you go in at 11 o'clock and you camp. And you don't leave
you
until the sun goes down.
I want to do that. That is what I'm going to do next time I go to Mexico. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been celebrating Mexico with the authors of The People's Guide to Mexico, Carl Franz and Lorena Havens. Thank you guys so much for sharing your beautiful philosophy about traveling in Mexico.
Thanks,
Rick. Great to be here.
I love that idea. Seafood Sunday.
Vente mamacita, hoy te quiero invitar. Un caldo de mariscos que voy a preparar. Todos los ingredientes yo los voy a poner. Con tu linda boquita te los vas a comer. Ya puse el abulón, el pulpo y el ostión. Y después del caldito te arrimo el camarón. Ya puse el abulón, el pulpo y el ostión. Y después del caldito te arrimo el camarón.
Share your own tales of Mexico or anywhere you've been. There's a web board for your comments in the radio section of ricksteves.com. Our next stop is the Netherlands, where journalist Jonathan Gruber has a good view of trends in Europe, including the glitzy pop music extravaganza known as the Eurovision Song Contest. It's Travel with Rick Steves.